Hello, Studio 360 listeners. It's Kurt. And if you haven't had a chance yet, check out this little bonus in your podcast feed. Our new podcast called Sideshow. It's all about arts and culture and entertainment and the best memes on the internet. We've been calling it Studio 360's Weird Kid Brother. And we mean weird in the good sense, the kind of kid brother who's precocious and funny and knows a lot of cool things. Is that patronizing? You can find out more at pri.org/sideshow. And if you like what you hear, I hope you'll subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever. See you this weekend.
Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
This is Sideshow, a podcast from Studio 360. I'm Sean Ramisferum. We were told the internet would kill TV, but that didn't happen. The internet and TV are BFFs. And thanks to the internet, there's more TV every day. Puff Daddy now has his own channel.
Bad boy.
People watch their favorite TV shows online, they share their favorite clips online, but people also read and watch tons of recaps. Not just summaries of last night's episode, these are passionate essays and testimonials about TV episodes written and recorded by fans for fans. Here's some of a recap written by Andy Greenwald for the third last episode of Breaking Bad. It was on Grantland the day after the show aired.
No show in history has ever demonstrated the courage of its convictions like this before. It's truly saying something when the brutal point-blank slaying of a beloved cast member was only the fourth or fifth worst thing to experience in an hour. There's a town in New Mexico called Truth or Consequences, and this episode drove us straight there, flinching and quaking in a bullet-riddled Dodge with a hungover meth head at the wheel.
Any entertainment site you read posts recaps. New York Magazine's Vulture actually does a recap of all the recaps. And recaps are becoming an art form unto themselves. People cut together all the crucial scenes of last night's episode of whatever, slap some funny commentary on the video, and get tens of thousands of quick hits on YouTube.
Hordor, Bran, Jojen, and Mira are trudging along. They find a mint climbing tree and are awestruck by what could become a great clubhouse. I hope their password is Hordor.
This Game of Thrones recap is from a YouTube user named Ozzyman.
Bran does his invasive party trick to become Brandor and kicks butt. Mira does super well, but Jojen unfortunately gets stabbed in the bladder. Skeletons then explode.
The style of commentary video is endless on YouTube, but there are people getting far more creative. There are recaps that are so good that they become essential. A piece of entertainment you can't miss about a piece of entertainment you can't miss. The best example of this is probably Funny or Die's Gay of Thrones.
My name is Jonathan Van Ness. I'm actually a real-life hairdresser. I work in Brentwood.
Back in 2012, Jonathan was cutting a Funny or Die producer's hair while telling her about the latest episode of Game of Thrones. She wasn't a fan of the show, but hearing Jonathan recap it made her fall out of her chair laughing. A very vulgar, very funny web series was born.
You know, very loud hairdressing queen chatting about Game of Thrones. It's just a very yummy cocktail to have, you know? People just love it.
So then Papa Lannister gets smacked in the face with a big old dose of reality from his daughter Blondeshare when he finds out what the D in Brother D stands for. It's like, it stands for Brother Dick.
I don't believe you.
But then Blondeshare goes to cast her pussy power over Brother D, which he totally loves. He stands up, he throws his anthropology catalog off the sundial, and then they make this like fraternal twin, like nast revenge love all over the place.
Game of Thrones got so big, so fast, that cast members from the show started dropping by to chat with Jonathan. In one of the best episodes, he spoke very frankly about gay sex on Game of Thrones with Alfie Allen, better known as Theon Greyjoy.
You gotta like warm my kitten up before you talk to her like that.
Yeah, totally.
What is it though with shows when they finally serve me a gay scene? It's gotta be all fucked up. Downton, sleeping molestation, fucking Game of Thrones, like four guys raping a dude in the woods, like getting knocked off a horse. Like, can I just get like a beautiful, like gay, like lovemaking story?
I thought there was some beautiful gay stuff in it already,
I don't remember it being beautiful. I remember being short-lived.
So maybe the funniest part of Jonathan's recaps is his names for the characters on the show. They're either brutally honest or just some vaguely similar-looking celebrity. Pycelle, the old man on the King's Council, is
Judy Dench. I think I call that Judy Dench.
Then there's Khaleesi.
Oh, she's Christina Aguilera.
And her three dragons.
I think the dragons might be Kelly, Beyonce, and Michelle. Yeah, I think I want them to be Destiny's Child.
How do you know when your recaps are exceptional? Game of Thrones now has viewers who don't watch Game of Thrones.
People will often say, like, you know, I don't watch Game of Thrones, but I love Game of Thrones. And I also get a lot, I never watched Game of Thrones until I saw Gay of Thrones, and then I was like, oh, this is why everyone's obsessed with it. So then I started watching Game of Thrones because of your recap, which this I think is amazing.
It's surprising that someone who has no interest in Game of Thrones would watch this guy recap it, but the popularity of recaps as a whole is pretty surprising. You just watched the show, and now you want to read an essay or watch a video about what happened? You already know what happened. Margaret Lyons writes about TV for Vulture and is sort of the patient zero of recaps. She writes them, she reads them, and she was seeking them out before they even really existed, like way back in 1997.
I was really, really into Melrose Place when I was in middle and high school, like really into Melrose Place. I had charts about like my favorite characters.
You had charts?
Yeah, because I had a theory that characters where the couples had the same color hair lasted longer on Melrose Place than characters where one character was blonde and one was a brunette.
So you're taking like the Nate Silver approach to Melrose Place.
Yeah, all basically. Right. And when we first got internet in my house, so I must have been in like 10th grade, I guess, 9th grade, looking on Yahoo and it was still like looking stuff up in a phone book. Remember when it was like you didn't search for a term? It was like T for TV and then like lists of shows.
Here's what we have.
Yeah. And then it was like a list of people's like personal websites. Like, welcome to Ken's Melrose Place site. And it was like a, you know, dancing wizard in the corner and stuff. But I remember that guy having like really funny Melrose Place recaps because this was at like the tail end where Melrose Place was really starting to like not be good, and there was a lot of new characters.
Its credibility.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh, I don't even care about that guy. Like, why is he here? It's like, oh, they only brought her on for the last season. Like, she's worthless. I don't care if she gets the job.
And did you end up confirming any of your theories about Melrose Place? Was it a place where you could go to find out, like, the authoritative take on it?
I felt like I had as authoritative a take as it's possible to have on Melrose Place.
You just didn't have a website yet?
I just didn't want, like, none of my friends wanted to talk about Melrose Place, right? I was like, hey guys, you guys want to still talk about Melrose Place every day? All the time. I was like, no thanks. We're going to like kiss boys and talk about that. I was like, but Melrose Place, you guys.
People are kissing boys on Melrose Place. You don't need to do it yourself.
You have no idea how much kissing there is. So it just was like a nice way to realize that other people, you know, had like silly nicknames for the characters or like thought certain plot lines were really exhausting.
And did you ever think, like, this is going to be a thing? This is going to turn into, like, an institutional thing that Entertainment Weekly and Rolling Stone Magazine and all these places will do? Or was that too far into the internet future for you to conceive
of? I definitely didn't think about it that way. It never occurred to me that other people would be as interested in recaps as I was.
What do you think draws a regular fan of a show to a recap? I watch a show on Sunday. I go to work on Monday. I mean, I've already spoken to friends about it. I've already spoken to coworkers about it. But now I want to go online and see what someone I've never met thinks about it or what a television critic thinks about it.
Well, I think maybe we're overstating how much you've talked to other people about it. Because in my experience, lots of my friends don't watch the same shows I watch and don't watch it the night I watch it or, oh, we're a season behind or like, oh, I promised my girlfriend we'd start at the beginning and I haven't, right? So after I watch an episode, if I want to talk to people about it, it isn't that straightforward to just like, oh, in my normal social life, that's what happens.
We should probably address the fact that recaps draw a lot of web traffic. Every blog or TV outlet online seems to have recaps.
Yes.
Do you think there's like a glut of it? Is there too much out there in the recap world?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, I think my hope is that sort of the pendulum will swing back a little bit. And instead of just every single website having to have a recap of something, that we're going to look for other interesting ways to respond to episodic television.
Which, right. I mean, exists, right? Grantland has like the Mad Men power rankings. Funny or Die has Gay of Thrones. And then, of course, there's like a scary, scary bottomless pit of reaction videos on YouTube.
Sure.
Just from fans of the shows. Do you take all that stuff as a sign that it's like its own art form now, right?
Right. So I think a lot of like the increased sort of fan response to stuff doesn't compete with recaps, right?
Okay.
The rise in sort of like everyone having some kind of reaction post or saying like, here's the themes from last night or like the five people who mattered or who had the best whatever. I like all of that. I think that's all good. Like, I think TV has that, it's with you all the time, right? So, like, every week that's going to happen. And depending on the show, I mean, you know, Game of Thrones is only 10 weeks. But a show like Parks and Recreation, that's going to be on for 26 episodes maybe. And that's going to sort of span maybe, like, your school year kind of. That's a show that, like, you know, I've watched that show for 7 years. That's, like, part of my life.
Yeah.
I see these people every week. Like, I am not tired of thinking about that or talking about that or listening to what other people have to say about that. I think that rise in additional material is the rise in additional material about literally everything, right? Like, it's not just TV has gotten more. There's more.
Why are there so many recaps for Mad Men and Game of Thrones, which have, you know, good followings, but so few for, like, NCIS, which has, like, the biggest ratings, right?
Sure. I think part of it for a show like NCIS is that it's episodic and not serialized, right? So it's much more interesting to read a recap of a show if the storyline – if holding the storyline in your head really, really matters. So for NCIS, it's much easier to pick up an episode here or there and not worry about, what am I missing? It's like, trust, you are not missing anything. Like, you got it. That guy's the murderer. He seems like a murderer. He's a murderer. It's never the first person they arrest. The second guy is always like, what? What? It's not him. Whenever it's about like 36 minutes into the episode and that person's sitting in an interrogation room, that person is the murderer.
I'm not sure if you know the answer to this question, but does the reaction video like surge make up for that dearth of like NCIS recap?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to look into that.
I mean, it's like the rule of the internet, right? Like, obviously the first rule is if you can think of it, there's porn of it. But the second rule is if you wonder if something's on the internet, it is.
Thanks for listening to Sideshow, and thanks to David Krasnow, Jenny Lawton, John Delore, Sophia Wynn, Marshall Bright, and Shruti Penamanini, who on one unforgettable day introduced me to Game of Thrones. You can subscribe to Sideshow at soundworks.org and find a lot more from us at studio360.org/sideshow or on Twitter at Sideshow.
Sideshow is supported in part by PRI's New Voices Fund, bringing new perspectives and personalities to public media. Donors to the fund include Maureen and Michael Rutgers and the Sarah and Evan Williams Foundation. Soundworks.
Soundworks.
From PRI.
Are you so nervous?